Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガークローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Griffin Taylor. You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio, and this is episode 33. Can't believe we've made it that far. See, today we got a pretty big show, actually, and it's I'm kind of piecing it together. It's been pretty tough to do this one. Much later, we got the second half of the interview with Hemrock, and it's all set to go. It's a little fragmented, but it's really good radio, so that'll be coming up. Before then, got some news, got a couple new reviews that have come out. A few things happening in the reviewer's circle I want to talk about. Got my Sega collection has kind of exploded, and I want to discuss that a little bit. Also, Out of Print Archive uploaded issue 3 of Enter Magazine, which is a very early video game magazine from the 1980s. I think it was 1983 these came out. I flipped through issue 1 and issue 2 over the on the air here. And the significance is the complete scan of this magazine is a zip file that you can download from Out of Print Archive for free. So we're going to go over that a little bit and kind of take a trip back to 1983, as well as look at some Sega games and a couple other new things. Got a new album in the works, a new Green Leo album. I'm well underway with that. So let's go ahead and get things started. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. And we're back. That song's a little bit longer than most songs I play, but good tune. That's Nana Kitade, I believe, is her name. So, we've got a new website, tigerclawtv.com. The whole thing looks completely different from the last episode, or maybe two episodes ago. And so basically, here's what I decided to do. The original website was just a placeholder, and it had been a placeholder for quite some time. So I wanted to do a blog style page like G&DB and like Jerry Terrifying. So I got a template for to that you're supposed to input into like a blog like system, but the template was just an HTML that had like place title here, place content here, you know, little spots like that all over the page. So hell, instead of applying it to a blog system somewhere where they can put ads all over it, and I can update it easily, I just said, forget it, I'll do my updates raw HTML, and I can just rip all the ads out and make it run super smooth. So I'm really proud of that. I like the way it looks. I'm having a little trouble with the updates, getting links in the updates. I did a review for a game called Astro Driller 3020, and I put the link to the website on the article, and when you clicked on it, the link that I inputted, it made relative to my URL, so it didn't work, and I don't know how to make it work for now. So that's kind of a problem. But other than that, I think it looks nice. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Astro Driller 3020. Now this is an indie game, an indie puzzle game that I came across that is really neat. And it's I'm a little torn about this because it's $10 retail price, and there's a lot of really cool games you can get for $10, especially on Steam. But I started playing the shareware version, because it does have a shareware version, a free demo that you can download so you can play it, you know, and see what it's like. And I got so hooked on it, you know. So, you know, it's not a bad way to spend some money. So that was, that's like, I think that may be the first indie game, the indie commercial game that I made a review for. So that's a first for Tiger Claw TV. Next, let's talk about Classic Elite. One of my partner podcasts, one of the guys, you know, that I really like listening to and talking to whenever I can. They got picked up by GNet Radio. Now, GNet Radio, if you've never heard of them, is they're a constantly streaming real-time radio station on the internet that's all game-related. They've always got something streaming out. They've got other really great shows, music, you know, all kinds of stuff. So if you've never heard of them, check it out, because I think listening to live streaming radio has a very different feel from listening to an MP3 recording. MP3 podcasts are awesome. It's my chosen format. But there's something really cool about streaming things live. And they've managed to get a spot. I think it's Thursday nights at like 10. But you're going to have to check them out. Classic Elite is in the link section. And they've, over on their site, they got everything laid out. So you can check it out. What else is going on? While we're talking about other podcasts, Gooch and the Douchebag really made the rounds. They had like three... They appeared on three different podcasts in like 2 days. They had their own episode come out with Sendu and Adam the Hedgehog. Then they also appeared on Classic Elite along with the Mondo Coolcast. So if you really feel like listening to five solid hours of Gooch and the Douchebag, you can. All right, so now we've talked about the guys. Let's talk about the games. The games! Been playing Sega Genesis. I talk about it every single podcast. It's the most played system in my house right now, although I am considering... I'm not considering. My games collection for the Sega has exploded, and I need to ease back a little bit. I had problems with my C button on my controller, which sucked, because I had just picked up Gunstar Heroes. But I took it apart. The Sega Genesis controllers are actually... They're not put together with security screws. They're just regular Phillips screws, and you need a small screwdriver to do it, but... It's quite easy to open it up, and you can pull out all the pads, and it goes right down to the bare circuit board. And around the buttons, there was, you know, some grime and dirt. I took a Q-tip to it, got it out, put it back together. Good as new. Saved me some money. So, of all the games I got, one game that surprised me was Castlevania Bloodlines. I've never been much of a Castlevania fan. I mean, I've always thought it was a neat series, but I've never been able to play the games for very long because I'm never very good at them, and oftentimes they get me... I get really frustrated with them because I can't get anywhere, and jumping back when you get hit, that's just never been my thing. But I played Bloodlines, and I'm not even sure what possessed me to buy this game.
you know, not being a fan of the series. And I have to say, Bloodlines is easily my favorite Castlevania game thus far. I really like that game. I think that the idea of being able to pick between two characters is really cool. The guy with the spear is really cool. The monsters seem a little bit more larger than life in this game, which I'm not sure if there's a better way to explain it than that. Like the classic Sahagin monsters, the fish monsters, the fishmen that jump out of the water and try to knock. They're in this game, but they're like much bigger, and they're not any harder. They're just really, you know, big, and they look cool. They have kind of a new look. And the game gets criticized a lot. People say it doesn't feel like a Castlevania game, and a lot of the things they say that make it feel unlike a Castlevania game, I like. Probably the biggest thing is that in that game, the special weapon that you pick up, you simply press the C button, and that's your special weapon. Classically, in Castlevania games, you always have to press up and then attack. There you go. But this new way, I love it. It just cuts out all the garbage. I don't know. It's so much easier. When I need to use one, the button's there. When I don't need to use one, I don't use one by accident. Now, seasoned Castlevania vets don't have that problem, but I'm not one, so I love it. Great game. Also, on the forums, I opened a new forum that I don't know how long it's going to be there or what. It depends on if it gets used or not, but it's a trading, selling, and buying board. If there's a game that you're really after, used, make a post about it there. If there's a game that, if you have doubles, draw up a list of all your doubles and post them there. You know? Like, if I see somebody who's really after, like, I don't know, Lufia for the SNES, and I happen to come across one on eBay, because I'm on eBay all the time, even when I'm not buying stuff, I will post, hey, here's the game you're looking for a decent price, or something like that. Another thing I've been thinking about doing is, like, this is especially true with the Game Boy. The Game Boy, there are a lot of lots, like wholesale groups of games that get sold that go for amazing prices and contain tons of stuff that I have already. Specifically, Game Boy Advance, or not Game Boy Advance, but Game Boy Pocket systems. I have a Game Boy Pocket, I got a Game Boy Brick, thanks to Jerry Terrifying, and I got an NSP. I don't need another Game Boy Pocket. They're awesome systems, but I don't need one. Most of those lots come with games I have already. For example, Tetris. It's in like every lot. I got one. Might be nice to have two, but I mean every lot has one. Here's the point. Suppose you wanted some of these things, but didn't want to throw down $20 for a lot. I would be willing to go halvesies with somebody, or like say, these lots go for like incredibly cheap. We're talking like $20 and you get all kinds of stuff. So like, I will post the lot if I'm thinking about buying it. And if you wanted to like throw up a couple of bucks, I would buy the lot myself and then snail mail you the items that you're after. So I mean that's just one idea. I don't know how long that'll be around, but I see other pages do these boards and people get cool stuff out of them. It was Sendu's idea, and he and I have been trading a lot. But so let's get back to the Genesis. Sendu sent me like a package of Sega games, and Hemrock did the same thing. He picked up some games for me and sent them to me. So I think I've got like it's like 8 or 9 games in the last like week or 2 weeks. Both of the Vectorman games. I got Sonic 3, although the save feature happens to be busted on that one. Sonic and Knuckles and Fantasia, and I can't remember the rest of them. But yeah, I've just been having a lot of fun. I think probably my favorite right now is Sonic and Knuckles, which has just been awesome. I opened that one up, and I managed to get it all apart. I used a little WD-40 and cleaned off all the stickers. That was kind of fun. I had an urge recently to undertake a modding project, because I want to learn to solder, and I want to get a mod station set up. I want to get all my gear together. So in order to do that, the best thing to do is to start with really simple tasks, really simple soldering jobs. You know, you watch a lot of videos and whatnot. So the simplest thing I can think of in terms of soldering jobs is battery replacement. So Sendu had this extra copy of Sonic 3 that he sent me because it couldn't save. And I said, all right, I'll take that. I just happen to have it. I wanted to do some modding anyway, so I opened it up to take a look inside. Now, I know for a fact that Sega games use batteries to save. I know because Jerry Terrifying has a video up where he opens up all sorts of different Sega, you know, company cartridges. And one particular one he opened up was Phantasy Star 2, which I have. Sure enough, it had that recognizable round battery component inside of it. But Sonic 3 didn't have that. And it had, the circuit board was twice as big as regular circuit boards. Because saving games, the circuit boards are just bigger. They have more stuff on there. But it didn't have a battery. And what I found out was that it actually uses an FRAM chip instead of a battery to save. Now, I have heard that you can buy those. I haven't seen them for sale anywhere. But I've also heard that they cost just as much as another copy of the game. On top of that, we're talking about a computer chip. A battery, I think, has 2 points of soldering. But a computer chip has, like, I think this particular one has, 16 points? 8 on either side? Forget that. And I'm talking about a simple job that I want to do, more or less, just to learn how to solder. Not a good place to start. But Sendu, if you're listening, I don't mean to say this to scoff at what you sent me. I just felt like modding something, so I decided to open it up. I still am fully enjoying having the game in and of itself. Because it's Sonic. None of the other Sonic games could save, so... You know what I mean? As far as I'm concerned, especially me experiencing all these games for the first time, it doesn't make a difference to me. Okay, so I gotta cover the new album, Cold Tekka 2, and Enter 3, and that'll be it, and we roll the interview. So let's go ahead and talk about that. First, the new album. Yeah, I'm making another Green Leo album. I started work on it about a month ago, and I had a really hard time getting started. I was making songs, and they were just terrible, and I felt like whatever magic I had when I was working on The King of Time was just gone. But I kept at it, and I came up with some really good tunes. And I posted one of them. It's called Washer Does the Dishes, and I released it on Apic Collective, and there's I posted the link in my Twitter. I'll probably play that. Probably not in this episode, because I want to get things moving along, but I'll probably play it in the next one. Anyway, it's the album as a whole is almost ready to go. It's just I'm kind of searching for a way to make it creative at this point. You know what I mean? So, keep your ear to the ground. Like, I don't have a title or anything like that. I guess all I'm saying is keep your ear to the ground for more Green Leo music. It's all open source, so, you know, if you want something for the background of your video games or podcasts or, you know, what have you. So you can do anything you want with it. It's totally open source. So watch out for that. Next, let's talk about Cold Tekka. Cold Tekka is an RPG that I made in RPG Maker 2000. It was an ode to a classic story that my very good friend NG Baratsu wrote and made over and over again as we were growing up. It's a demo. It's about an hour, give or take, of gameplay. And I had been curious. I had reached this dilemma. How do I make the second part of the game? Do I re-release the first part and, like, it's just longer, and you have to play through the first part again, and then after you get to the end, then you go on to the new content? Or do I make it episodic? Make the first one, okay, that's part one, then we'll release part two. Well, I was torn because I want to release Cold Tekka as a single game. I want this to be one game that you play through, and there's no breaks. Because when you get to the second half, I want you to have all your items and all your levels and so on and so forth. But that's unrealistic to ask the people who played the first half to play the first half again when the second half comes out. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep making it as a single game, but when I have another hour of gameplay, I will edit the beginning to make this to then produce an episode 2. So it will be episodic. The next half will be a second episode, but then when I start working on the following episodes, it'll keep going like that. But when the game is complete, then I'll be able to release the game in its entirety, where you can just play through it with one file and one sitting. So if you haven't played it thus far, you know what I mean, you can wait for the finished copy of the game, but who knows when that'll be. I tried to get it uploaded to RPGmaker.net, because right now, with the space where Cold Tekka is uploaded, it's if it hasn't been downloaded in a week, I think they give it the sack. So I'm trying desperately. I download it myself a couple of times, you know, just to make sure the link stays fresh. And I know RPGmaker.net will give me a more permanent hosting solution, you know, for free, but
they deleted my old account, I think, due to inactivity, which kind of sucks. So I haven't put it up there yet. So, you know, it's making a game is a lot of work. It's an amazing amount of work. So, you know, I don't know. I was on the development team. This guy named Kid Thunder was building a game called Kaberki, and it was, you know, it was okay. It was a typical RPG Maker game. Didn't really have any spit or polish to it. It was, I'm going to come out and say it, it was a little bit on the lame side, but I thought it would be cool just to work with somebody else on somebody else's vision, somebody else's project. But he wanted me to get in on this thing like while I was in the middle of midterms. So I couldn't send him an edited version of his game for like 2 weeks. And by the time I did, I built him an intro for his game, and you know, I had wrote a really long letter of comments, never heard back from him, so I think I got booted from that project. So, you know, c'est la vie, as they say. Alright, so we did that. I think all that's left is to talk about Enter Magazine. Now, this is the December 1983 edition of Enter Magazine. If you want to get a copy of this, go to outofprintarchive.com right now. Do it now! Gooch and the Douchebag, if you happen to be listening, this one's for you. This happens to be from the latest edition of Enter from Out of Print Archive. This is the Holiday Buyer's Guide. Now, remember, this is the December issue from 1983, and they list all the popular computer and video game systems, the VIC-20, the ColecoVision, and some other ones. And here's the paragraph they say about the Vectrex. The Vectrex is not a system we would buy to expend, even if the promised peripherals arrive. But this is the only home system to use top-quality vector graphics and come with its own special monitor. That means the machine is designed to play beautiful three-dimensional line-drawing graphics and is perfect for Asteroid and Battlezone-type games. It also means you won't have to borrow the family TV set every time you have to play. But there's not much software written for the system, and all of it comes from GCE, makers of Vectrex. This limits the system's growth potential as either a game player or a computer. So, take that as you will. That's their selling holiday wrap-up for the Vectrex, one of the top 10 worst consoles of all time. So say Gooch and the Douchebag. Watch the video now on YouTube. I'm flipping through this, and it doesn't make a lot of reference to stuff I'm familiar with, as the last one did. There is a big section about Atari music. There's a music composer for Atari, and they talk about... Now, keep in mind, this is 1983. They're talking about musicians at the time, how synthesizers were all the rage. And that's pretty cool. There's a really funny picture of Devo. What else we got? There's some ads for some games that, like... The ads were like movie posters, and they make the games look awesome. Like, there's an ad for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons for the Intellivision. Towards the beginning of the magazine, and I had that game. And what's interesting is the screenshot, they actually do show a screenshot of gameplay footage, and it looks nothing like what I played, but phew, that page ad makes me really want to get that game again. Maybe I'm just a sucker for advertisements, or maybe the advertisements are, you know, shameless and lying liars with their pants on fire. Let's see, anything else in here? I'm kind of flipping through the pages. A lot of really great artwork. And I guess that's about it. I don't really feel like reading their letters column. And the reviews of actual games, they weren't for any games I'd ever heard of. Let's see, feedback. I guess that's about it. I love this. The crossword puzzle. The CompuCross from 1983. Let's see. Yeah, I can only imagine. So that's it. So that's Enter Magazine, Part 3. Go get it now. Out of Print Archive. You know, Triverse, if you guys are listening, put 4 out. Because I love that magazine. Unfortunately, I just downloaded that, so I haven't really come across... I haven't read any of the articles yet. I might have to brush on that again in the next episode. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that's all the material I wanted to cover. The second half... with Hemrock, you don't have to have heard the first half to enjoy it. So I don't want you to feel like, oh, this is part two, I haven't heard part one. Don't worry about that. It's just, you know, us hanging out more. So I'm going to go ahead and roll that right after this song. This is Critical Failure for Tiger Claw TV. Gentlemen, this is part two of the Hammerlock interview right here on Tiger Claw Radio.
So anyway, we're back on the air. We're back with Hammerlock from the Retro League. Now, just before we get back to what we were saying, I want to let all the listeners know that Hammerlock here has just put out his first YouTube video game review, and it was a really good one. You can check him out on his YouTube page, or I have actually featured that on mine. By the time this airs, I'm not sure if it'll still be up or not. But you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, you're too kind. I didn't expect you to pull that. Yes, I decided to enter the wonderful world of video game reviews on YouTube.
The wonderful world of colors. Sorry.
So I have a little extra time on my hands right now. So I went out and I started playing this ROM hack, and it's actually a really good ROM hack. It's a ROM hack of Super Mario Bros. 3, and it's called Mario Adventure. And I played this game quite a bit, and I looked on YouTube to see, you know, if anyone had done a review or anything like that. I didn't really find much of substance. I think a few people had played it and maybe talked about it a little, but no one gave it a really good overview and talked about the different features of this game, because it was released in 2004, so 6 years ago.
Phew!
Yeah, so it's not really novel anymore.
Right.
That effect is kind of worn off, and I think people have forgotten about it. But this is Super Mario Bros. 4 that should have been. Really well done game. Great polish. I don't want to give all my video away, but you can go on YouTube, look up Hemrock, that's H-E-M-R-A-W-C, or type in Mario Adventure Review, and you can probably find it that way, or Tiger Claw TV.
If you're streaming this, then the link to that video will be in the show notes, so Tiger Claw TV podcast, and then under this episode, there'll be a link right to the Hemrock YouTube videos. You know, one thing that I find interesting about that game was you said that they did away with the extra life count.
They did.
Which I think is a really awesome thing to do.
Yeah, they pretty much said, let's cut out the BS. We know that lives pretty much don't matter in Super Mario Bros. 3, so we're just going to give you infinite lives.
It kind of reminds me of playing that game, Guerrilla War, for the NES. Like, it didn't really matter how many times you died. You could just kind of sit back and enjoy the game and not have to worry about starting over.
But that video gave me a deeper appreciation for all those people who make reviews out there, because that took an incredible amount of time.
I bet it did. I don't know how you make them that long. I still can't make a video that's over like 4 or 5 minutes tops.
This actually might be a bad condition, but when I get fixated on certain things, I can't let it go until it's finished. Except maybe for like Final Fantasy V, because that's just aggravating. But yeah. When I feel like I'm in a rhythm, I just got hooked. And I couldn't like stop editing. I was up to like 1 o'clock finishing that. But I mean, I also had worked on it a few days prior to that as well. So I didn't do it all in one day. But it was a learning experience.
Did you do a script?
I did do a script. The script kind of changed here and there, but for the most part, it stayed pretty true. And I really think that's the way to go. Write your script first.
Oh, yeah. You can tell. You can kind of tell when somebody is writing a script or when somebody's just like
playing a game going, it's kind of like in this part where, you know, oh, wow, did you see that? That was so bad.
Yeah, we hear the 10-year-old voice.
Yeah.
My heart immediately sinks, and I'm like, okay, let's look for another one. Because it's like just them talking about like random stuff, and you're like, it's not informative. I want, you know, some substance. Tell me about this game. Get it to me quick, and I can make a decision whether I want to play this or even just watch the video for entertainment purposes.
I think it's harder to come up with with good jokes for a video.
Yeah.
People watch that guy, James Rolfe, and then they make videos where they think, like, a couple of cuss words and, you know, is a joke. And, like, to me, like, that's not a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even, like, you know, Jim Henson, the guy who did the Muppets. Well, before he did the Muppets, he was he worked in the advertising industry, so he got really familiar with like gag style jokes, like that, like quick images, you know, where with some sort of like simple like pun on it or something, you know, some kind of joke that's a joke that's not like, oh, this game, you know, sucks the like my big toe. Yeah, that's what it does. That's not a joke, and it's not entertaining, you know? Especially since people who make videos like that tend to have, like, 40 or 50 videos or something like that. It's like, ugh. And 10 minutes, 59 seconds per video. It's always, like, just below the 11-minute quota that you get.
Yeah. Speaking of jokes, one of the clever things, if you use the word clever loosely, I guess, is a nod to Tiger Claw Radio, or excuse me, TV, Tiger Claw TV, when I did that whole rating system.
Yeah, I got a big kick out of that.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away if you haven't watched the video.
Yeah, definitely watch it and see the end.
Yeah, I'm hoping to pump out maybe a couple more because I know, you know, pretty soon here I'm going to get busy and those videos are not going to happen because that took hours. It was only 10 minutes long. It literally took hours.
Yeah, 10 minutes is a long video to make.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, like, that video had a lot of, like, quick images that only had, like, a second of airtime. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, and I probably had three times more content than I actually used.
You know, it's an interesting game choice because I think I've seen that name on I can't remember the URL, but whatever the site is that makes reproduction carts.
Yeah.
I think.
No, you know why?
Why?
It's because I talked to him. I'm not even joking. Because before, like, he didn't have it, and I sent him an email. I was like, hey, could you do Mario Adventure? And he was like, oh, yeah. And he put it up on his site, and then after that, I was like, I didn't want it.
You didn't want it? You were bitter because he was offering it to other people?
No. I wasn't bitter. I guess the novelty of it just kind of waned.
Wore off, yeah. You wanted it to be your special card that nobody had?
I realized I didn't have any donor cards that I was willing to give up.
Yeah, that's a really difficult part of getting a reproduction card. Like
I dropped it.
I really wanted to get, like, what is it, Rockman Exile?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I thought it would be cool to have a reproduction card of a Mega Man game in a clear blue plastic cart case.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says you can use... I've talked to that guy, too, about a couple of things. I wanted to get a cart made for Wizardry 3, which is Japanese only, but it actually has English switches on it, so you can play it in English. Cool. Anyway, the thing is, he needs the circuit board out of the donor carts, but he has some guys who send him the cart, and then a case from RetroUSB.com. You can get, like, that's where they sell those like clear red and clear, you know, blue.
Yeah. I bet they have polka dot too.
Translucent cases. I don't know about polka dot, but I know
I'm sure they can do it. They can't do gray, but they can do everything else.
Well, if you buy a gray case, then you can't distinguish it as brand new. See, that's the thing. They're parts. They don't hack any games up. Some people feel bad about hacking up old games, like the Gyromite thing.
Oh yeah, so you can take out the 72 pin connector.
I read
72 to 60 pin.
Yes, I read a really big article about that. Apparently, what happened was one Christmas early on, there was Gyromite and a couple other games, and they ran out of circuit boards. So they had to decide between either, like, a massive shortage of games or doing what they did. And so that's how we have the golden magic converter circuit board that hides, like, leprechauns at the end of the rainbow inside Nintendo carts. And I found out a couple of things. First of all, the thing about weight, distinguishing the weight, there is actually an expansion chip that enables a few more sound channels to some games. Konami had their own, and Nintendo had their own. So I have opened carts thinking they had it, and it turned out that the circuit board was just bigger because they had the expansion chip.
So, well, there's other things that you can do to figure it out. I don't remember all of them, but I do remember it has to have five screws.
Five screws, yep.
And then there's that strip that you have to look for.
Yes, in the on the pins.
Yeah.
The connectors, there's a little piece of gold on each pin. Like, on a normal game, if you look at the pins, each little pin is a symmetrical piece of, you know, whatever it is. But they're not symmetrical in one that has an adapter in it. They have a little strip in them. So that's that story. And I ended up opening up a bunch of my games, because I have a bunch that are five screw, but none of them had the thing in it. And I was heartbroken.
But, I mean, you can really feel it, because I felt the difference before.
Really? Do you have one?
No. Went to in San Antonio. They had a stack-up cart there. It was where I bought the Journey to Silius, but I didn't even want to ask them the price on that. But I pulled it out, and I felt it, and then I pulled another cartridge out, and, yeah, you could tell the difference.
Oh, wow.
Close to twice as much.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. There's a place about an hour away that sells Nintendo games. They're like a game store, and they have a couple of ratty cardboard boxes filled with Nintendo games behind the counter. And they had you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go. Yeah, and they had a Gyromite cart, but I couldn't tell any difference. So maybe it didn't have the adapter in it.
Those Gyromites don't. It's something like 1 in 5 or 20% or below, somewhere around there. But it's not very high.
Yeah.
Stack up, though. That's where the money's at. It's 100% guaranteed.
That's a good way to go, because stack up is such a, like, I would not feel bad for even a second for ripping open a copy of stack up and totally making it unplayable.
Yeah.
Because it's stack up. Who cares? Maybe you could take the other parts and have it made into a reproduction card or something.
Well, real quick, before we move away from reproductions, I do want to mention something about Mario Adventure.
Right.
Dark Days, the guy who actually made the game, he said in an interview that, well, I don't know if he specifically said this, but he at least hinted at it, that you wouldn't be able to make a reproduction cart, because what he does, according to him, that he uses certain glitches in the emulators or something like that, that wouldn't be possible in a normal NES.
Huh.
So I would be really cautious about buying a reproduction cart of that game.
Really?
Yes. So, and that was another reason I shied away from it, because I was like,
And the reproduction guy still sells
it probably
them.
Can't be done. You can ask him. Ask him if he's actually made one. Because I had a feeling when I talked to him, because I asked him about it, and then like a day or two later, he sends me an email back and goes, oh, yeah, I can do this. So I don't know if he actually tried, or if he just took a look at the ROM image and thought, oh, yeah, I could probably do this.
Huh. Yeah, you never know. I don't. One of those reproduction cards is $25 stinking dollars, not counting buying the game, the donor card. So it's still like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
What about Battle Kid? Is that still for sale? Or are they sold out? I should probably look that up. You know Battle Kid from Retro USB?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I haven't been to Retro USB in a while.
Yeah, nor have I.
We can check it out.
Oh, this is where I'm at. I beat you. Beat you.
That's not hard to do on this computer.
Oh, it's temporarily unavailable.
Dude, you know what really makes me upset? there's I don't know if you've heard of this or not. I don't know what the name of it is, but there is a brand new RPG. Brand new, totally
Pure
original.
Solar?
Yes, Pure Solar. And it's,
I've been talking about this for years.
And it has it's completely the US version is sold out.
Yeah, they sold out months ago.
Yes. And and they said we're not making any more. It's not even out yet.
No, I don't know. I mean, I talked to Hughes about this, and he's so pessimistic. He's like, oh, it's never going to happen. But according to the guy, they're like in the final phase of beta testing.
They say that the Japanese version is not region coded, and you can switch it to English. So if you really want to get it, you can get the Japanese version, and it'll still work. But I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's so not the same for me.
Yeah. I don't understand why they don't make more copies.
I was looking back through the forums, and people were like, yeah, I pre-ordered two of them. It's like, why? Why?
No, it's because they want to sell it on eBay, because the price immediately doubles.
Yeah.
Because another game that's similar to Pure Solar is Beggar's Prince.
Right.
And that's also a real rare game. That came out in like 2006.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that go for now?
You can't even find it. Like, I just searched for it on eBay, and it's not there.
Well, I'm still at the point where, like, I'm playing the ones that have actually been out for 10 years or so. I'm playing those for the first time, so...
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. Like, I just got Phantasy Star 2 a week ago, and it's the first time I've ever played a Phantasy Star game.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Oh, I take that back. I just found two of them. One is going for $80. It's Beggar Prince. And this actually isn't a brand new RPG. It was actually a Chinese RPG that got translated into English in 2006, 2005.
How does the footage look? Does it look any good?
It's your typical Genesis game, RPG style. There's another one that's going for $25.
Yeah, see, I don't know about paying a rack of money for a typical game. Pure Solar looked like it was high quality.
Oh yeah, like, coming out with like a CD version too.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know.
Since I don't have a Genesis anymore, I guess it doesn't matter.
I'm getting pretty what's the word? I guess jaded about the whole thing. It kind of seems like I see a bunch of like eBay dealers waiting in line for something like that.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And like the actual gamers are like a mile behind.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the developers don't give a crap. You know, money is money is money. Hey, they could go down.
Recommendation for you about the game.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. I don't mean to cut you off there.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
This game is actually free.
What's the game?
The game is called Hydora. I just started playing it like yesterday, maybe the day before, and it's an indie game. It looks a lot like Gradius.
H-I-D-O-R-A?
H-Y-D-O-R-A-H.
Okay.
Hydora.
Very cool.
It is a shmup game. Very well done, completely free, completely legal. I was watching Bite Jacker,
right.
If anyone's listening and watches that. It's a really cool show. It's not on YouTube. Well, they might release some of their stuff on YouTube, but they have their own site. Really well done. Obviously, they're making money because there's advertisements all over there, but pretty good resource for indie games. Bite Jacker, and then check out Hydora. I think you'll really like it if you like shmups.
Those will both be in the show notes if you're listening to this out there. Yeah, I've played some really good free shmups, and I like them a lot, so I will definitely check that out. My favorite is still Self-Destruct from Terry Cavanaugh. That's a great game. What's that?
Go ahead.
I said I'm still pissed that he's charging $20 for VVVVVV. You heard of that game?
No.
He made a game similar to Metal Storm. You play as a little stick figure guy, and it's called VVVVVV. The letter V capital 6 times. That's the title. And he's charging $20 for it. And there's a demo you can you can get, and like the indie community was all abuzz with this game. And like prior to this game coming out, Terry Cavanaugh made exclusively freeware games, and he was like my favorite developer because he has a little website called Distractionware, and like a lot of the games are on that are like really good, and I've done reviews of more than one game he's made. So I was like, yeah, this game is gonna be awesome. He had it like in production, like notes and screenshots on his website. It comes out $20.
Oh,
that's steep. Yeah. Yeah, that's steep for a game where you play as a stick figure.
Yeah, he probably would have made a lot more money if it was just like $5.
I don't know, though, because everybody was talking about it for a while. Like, on the indie sites, like, I go to indiegames.com/blog a lot. Like, that's, you know, one of the big plays. Everybody was up about this game, so I'm sure he made a boatload. You know what I mean?
Maybe so.
Maybe so, yeah. I'm surprised it's not on Steam.
Speaking of... indie games.
Steaming pile of crap. What were you saying?
Sorry, I keep interrupting all your good jokes.
No. What's up? Indie games.
Indie games.
Meow.
Good sandbox game.
Okay.
Have you? I'm just curious. I'm asking out of my own interest.
A good free sandbox game?
Yeah, or like some type of simulation builder. Have you heard of Dwarf Fortress before?
I've heard the name. I haven't checked it out yet.
Oh, basically, you've got a bunch of dwarves, and they kind of build their own community, and you have to keep them happy and defend them against intruders. It's almost like SimAnt, but it's a lot more complicated, and the learning curve is huge.
What is that for? Is it like Neo Geo game or something?
No, it's an indie game.
Really?
Yeah, Dwarf Fortress. You could go download it right now. I tried to get into it. I probably spent 2.5 hours trying to learn it and, like, reading a tutorial. And there was just so much to know and learn that I was like, I can't do this. But I'm really itching for a good, like, sandbox.
Well,
maybe some type of builder game. I don't know.
As far as sandbox games, I mean, like, do you like the Grand Theft Auto games?
I'm not a huge fan, but...
Because I know the old school Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 are both freeware now. Like, legally, you can download those for free.
Yeah.
But
I try to move away from random instances of killing.
Yeah, I feel you. But I don't know. You know, I don't really play a whole lot of sandbox games. And I think there might be several, but I haven't researched it. It's like... I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about. First-person dungeon crawlers. You know that's something that I'm into. Like, Wizardry is one of my all-time favorites. So I was like, I have to... There has to be some that are out there that are free. And it took a few days of searching, but as it turns out, there are a lot. And I'm sure it's the case with sandbox games. There probably are a lot, because there's a lot of freeware developers out there that want to, you know, get picked up by some software company. So you just have to do some searching. I guess. Figure out where the freeware competitions are and then play all their games.
All right.
That's a good way to go. I'll tackle this in a later episode. I will do some searching and I'll have the spotlight. The topic of the episode will be freeware sandbox games. Because you saw nonlinear gaming a lot more in the old days.
Yeah, true.
Not necessarily sandbox games, but like nonlinear, like Ultima and stuff like that was nonlinear for the most part. What were you going to say?
Look at this guy. Critical failure. Going out of his way to help someone. Gotta love it.
Well, it's an original topic. It's something that I haven't thought of. And anything, I think it's really cool to get stuff for free that's like, you know, legal. Because I'm sure the guys that made these games, you know, would love to have just a couple more downloads, just one or two more people playing there. You know what I mean? Just like running a YouTube video. You want just a few more people to watch it, and then you're good.
So. Yeah. I remember when I first put mine up, and it went from, like, 10 views to, like, 15. I was like, yeah!
Yeah!
5 more views!
Oh, my 5th and 6th subscribers on YouTube... I was more happy about number 5 and number 6 than, like, any of the subsequent 700.
Is that when I subscribed to you? Just kidding.
Actually, I think you found me on the blog system on RetroWare TV. Am I correct?
That's true. Yeah.
And that's where I got my first subscribers. So probably is about the time. But I know number 6 was the Half Blind Gamer. So you may have been number 5 or 7 or something.
We may never know.
We may never know. Dun dun dun. So, have you played any other freeware lately? I haven't played any freeware in a long time.
Freeware. Oh, I was actually just playing something before we started. Now I can't remember the name of it. It's something I just found today.
Oh, sweet.
It's something Assault.
I can tell it made a big impression.
Well, I don't remember names. I remember the actual, like, visual experience.
It's harder to remember names of freeware games, I think.
Hold on. Now I want to find it. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's change the topic. I can find it if we just start talking about something else.
Bought Gunstar Heroes. I mentioned that earlier.
There you go.
I really like it. I'm really bad at it. I only have one Sega controller, so I can't play the co-op.
Really?
Yeah, he sent me a letter that, like...
He's pregnant?
Yeah, his wife.
Oh.
Yes, him. Like in the movie Junior.
That was a horrible movie.
Yes, it was. I loved Arnold Schwarzenegger as a kid, you know? All the, like, the cheesy one-liners when he would kill somebody, you know? From the 80s. And then, like, when Junior came out, I was still a kid, and I was like, forget this dude.
Anyways, I found the game.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Yes,
still.
Back to that, because the show was taking a turn for the worse.
Gotta bring us back on track.
Yes.
The game is called Assault Fleet.
Assault Fleet.
It's a strategy game, for sure. Kind of like an RTS.
Mm-hmm.
You have two circles. You have an inner circle and an outer circle.
Okay.
In the inner circle, there's a planet that's right in the middle, and then there's a bunch of enemy ships that are circling the planet. They're orbiting the planet.
Circulating.
They're a circulating down there. Right there. Anyway, so you have a bunch of ships, enemy ships, that are orbiting this one planet. The goal is to destroy the planet. There's also some asteroids that are in that inner circle. Within the outer circle is where you can click and build units. You have a unit panel on the left-hand side.
Right.
And you click it, and there's different options that you can get as you progress. So the idea is to also kill the enemy ships and destroy the asteroids, because you get points. And the points allow you to not only upgrade your ships, but also to buy. So you kind of have to manage, oh, do I want to research or wait for another battle so I can save up my points for buying ships?
Sounds like a mixture of Command and Conquer and Asteroids.
Very much so. And I'm not very good at this game. I'm going to be honest. One hint that I would give is research is overrated. There's like a few key things that you kind of need, but then after that, like, you can survive for quite a while. And you need to hold on to those extra points, because once you get to a level and you run out of points, you lose.
Really?
And they don't have like a save system. Like, it'll save your score, but you don't start at that level. No, you go all the way back.
Mm.
So it can be a little frustrating when you get really far and you're like, oh, I just want to play this battle again, not the 10 before it.
But this is a freeware game, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I think, a Flash game.
So then, yeah, I guess you can cut a little slack for being unbalanced. You know what really bothers me? There's a game that I did a review for way back a long time ago called, it's kind of a dirty name, I guess, but it was called War... And it was a really good shooter, but it was really weird. You played it a little dot. And you would shoot, like, little floating buses, and it was a real seizure of colors and stuff. But it was a lot of fun, and the average game would last, like, 45 seconds or something. Well, I was going through the download links on my page to make sure they all worked, because I maintain, like, links to all the freeware games I've talked about on my website. Well, lo and behold, that one is now a pay-what-you-want game. So it's no longer free. You have to pay a specified amount. And I think you can do like a really low amount, but you still have to pay something and you still have to maintain a PayPal account. And freeware is just not worth it. And I was so disappointed because I don't want to take the video down now or something. But like, ugh.
Yeah.
Developers, man, they're so damn greedy.
Well, you spend hours and hours upon a game, and you do it all the time. I'm sure their wife keeps complaining. They've got to justify it somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that's a big common argument in their household. When are you going to start charging money for your games? We live in a cardboard box, and you're making free games.
No, you know it happens.
You know it's like Sunday afternoon, and they're watching football, and they ran out of potato chips, and they're like, I know how I can get some more cash. Some dummy's going to pay $10 for this, and I'm going to have a 12-pack of Coke and some chips.
After PayPal takes their $2 from you.
Yeah.
So just an 8-pack. 6-pack.
Yeah, 6-pack Cokes.
Man, they should bring those about. Why just 6? I don't know.
You know what's even more ridiculous than that? I actually recently saw 100-calorie or 90-calorie cans of soda, Coca-Cola.
Yeah?
There are these little tiny cans that are like the size of like a tomato paste can. Like the entire can isn't any bigger than my cell phone.
See, I'm trying to think of these because I do remember seeing Coke cans that are about half the size of a normal Coke can.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about?
No, these are smaller than that. Now, see, here's the thing. You live down south, right? Am I right? Like,
it's true.
Yes. I live near, like, D.C. So all, like, the what do you call it? People who, like, eat a lot of granola and stuff live up here. All the people who lease expensive cars and stuff like that.
What do you mean, eat granola? Are you trying to stereotype?
Like, well, yes, I am, because stereotyping is funny. But
yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have something else I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay,
what is your opinion of the Sega Saturn?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't have much of an opinion because I've never really played one. And most of the games I really want to play are really expensive. And so I didn't see much logic in paying like $40-$50 for the system and then paying $200 for a game.
Where are you looking for games that are $200?
Well, okay, I'm exaggerating a little. But some of like the RPGs, there's another game called Guardian Heroes that I really wanted to play.
I'm familiar with that, yeah.
And that's pretty expensive. There is the modification route. Apparently, it's really easy to mod a Sega Saturn to run off of burn games.
It depends on which version.
It's the one without the oval buttons.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to go down that route, so I ended up just not getting one.
I look at the Saturn collection now, and I think there's a few ports I wouldn't mind having. Honestly, I was saving for a Saturn when I started playing my Genesis.
Yeah.
And then like I got distracted. I was like, oh, forget that. I'm stuck getting some Genesis games. And now I'm like all about the Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis is pretty nice to collect for, because for the most part, you know, games are pretty cheap. It's just those really popular games that kill you, like the Shining Force series. You got a pretty good deal, I think, on that Gunstar Heroes game, because I would think that would be more expensive.
Yeah, you can snipe the Shining Force games and get them pretty cheap.
That's good.
If you're ready to lay down $15 or $20 and you're ready to watch some auctions, you can get those games.
How about that?
No, you're good.
You can cut some like half the stuff we were talking about that wasn't games.
It's no big deal. It's all right. I run a little podcast. I have just a few people who listen. It's no big deal.
No, I bet you probably have more than you think.
It's tough to say because... Oh, we're back on the air with Hammerlock. Hey! It's tough to say because... The statistics in any free service are going to be off. The only one I think that gives you positive statistics is iTunes. And I don't have iTunes. I know Podomatic puts it directly on there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I really don't know. You know what I mean? It says, like, apparently I have really good numbers. Like, it says that the feed has been accessed, like, 1,500 times or something in the last month. But then like, number of unique visitors is, like, 70 or something.
That's pretty good. I mean, compared to us, we're not doing that much better. So.
That's definitely good, and I'm big thanks to all the people who listen. But, I mean, mathematically, the difference between those two numbers is so big that I question all the statistics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What you mean?
It's kind of like on YouTube, something you're going to know once you, you know, get a few videos out is the number of subscriptions you have versus the number of views your videos get on average. I just passed the 700 subscription mark, and my videos get on average 150 to 200 views. That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I guess, have either just stopped coming to YouTube or you know, just close the videos and don't watch them. Because I had a couple of people that I was subscribed to that I never watched their videos to.
Yeah. Honest, probably every 5 or 6 months, I'll go on my YouTube account and scroll through and find people like I don't watch anymore and unsubscribe.
Like Burger Rider?
Oh, man, that guy's awesome! Burger Rider! I forgot about him. He hasn't put out a video in a while.
No, he has. You must have unsubscribed to him.
I'm checking my subscriptions right now.
He did an entire series of videos where he would go to different restaurants. And, like, he went to Waffle House. He was like, I'm going to try and get a meal under $10. And he had a little credit reel where it was like co-starring hash browns and Diet Coke or something like that. It was really funny. Yeah, for those of you who don't know who we're talking about, Burger Rider is like, he's like a grizzled old war vet. He's like a Vietnam war vet or something.
Yeah, grizzled would be a very good term.
He like, drinks a lot of beer and plays a lot of RPGs. Like,
and the funny thing is that he will record all 30 hours that he spends on Final Fantasy IV and upload it.
He's got like easily 900 videos or something out.
He has 1,033 videos. I'm on his channel right now.
Wow. I know he uploaded a heck of a lot of Breath of Fire 2 footage just this past weekend.
Oh, wow, he's from Texas.
Really? That I didn't know.
I wonder how close he is to me. This town sounds familiar, but...
He's a really cool guy, and his videos are really cool, but he's not very interactive. Like, I mentioned him in my tagged video to try and get him some attention, and, like, got no response. And I was like, hey, I tagged you, and nothing.
Yeah.
I've left a few comments, nothing. So, you know.
He lives about 4 hours north of me.
You know exactly how close he lives?
He's by a... I don't want to reveal... Well, he put it in his YouTube video. He lives in Dallas, basically. It's a suburb of Dallas. I live about 4 hours north.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. No, he's definitely cool. And really... Really funny. Really funny.
It's funny and he doesn't mean to be funny. He has like a really dry... How should I say it? The way he speaks is very straight. And he doesn't try to crack any jokes. And he takes these games super serious. Like it's a life and death situation. And what's even more funny is the fact he's incredibly defensive. No, you watch one of his videos, and my gaming skills are not to be judged. That's not what his video is about. I'm like, dude, no one is.
I'm not on trial here. That's what.
Yes, that's what I was trying to think of. My video skills are not on trial here. whatever crazy RPG he's playing.
I love it how at the beginning of each gameplay video, the first thing he says is, "We're back. You didn't miss anything." And then you hear the beer crack. Psst.
Or the best is like watching people in the background walk by. Or you got, to this day, I don't know if he's filming like in a room or if he's filming in a garage and he has like a shelf in the back. I don't know.
That's really funny.
Yes, but Burger Rider, you guys need to check him out.
Yeah, he'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, and Burger Rider, if somehow you are listening to this, we're not like trying to make fun of you, we're trying to make fun with you. We're trying to lift you up into the community. And I know you're not going to want to do it, but we're out there for you.
Just want to lift your drunken RPG playing self up into the community. Oh, yes.
His subscribers, well, he has about 50 subscribers, and, like, they're all pictures of, like, young kids.
He had zero when I subscribed.
What?
When I subscribed, I'm pretty sure I was number one.
Yeah, no, the reason I subscribed is because I saw him, I saw that you subscribed. And I was like, oh, let me check this guy out. And I'm like, this guy's hilarious. And he says his introduction exactly the same. Burger out of here. I can't imitate it well, but gotta listen to him.
You have to grow an enormous beard to come close to imitating him and talk through the beard, because that's what he does.
Yeah, and have like a 50-pack history.
Yeah, and have glasses from 1928.
Yeah. Burger Rider, go and subscribe.
Yes.
That'd be awesome if your podcast came out and his subscription skyrocketed. Like, I wonder if we can put this guy over 100 subscriptions.
That would be cool. I don't know how we would do it, but
I wonder if he would do, like, a thank you subscriber video if you got, like, over 100. That would be awesome.
I don't know. I unsubscribed to him for a while, and then I went back about 2 weeks ago, and I saw all the crazy stuff he's put up, and, like, I felt so bad that I had missed it. It's like tour of Waffle Houses and stuff.
You missed his 25-hour special on Final Fantasy IV.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But, anyways.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, good old Burger Rider. He's on he's on YouTube. Check him out.
I wonder how he got the name Burger Rider.
Don't know. I know the burger is his least favorite thing at Waffle House.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to find this guy's Waffle House video.
He said he went 3 times. One for breakfast and one for lunch and one for dinner. Or something.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about it and he like gave them a rating between 1 to 10. This really arbitrary rating system.
What'd they get?
I think like a 7 or 7.5 or something. They had points deducted for not carrying Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah, I have it. It's Waffle House cheeseburger meal.
Yes.
Oh, he did the intro. Yes. Burger out of here.
Oh, gosh.
He filmed this one in his kitchen.
Yeah, he what he used to do was each, like, entire game that he would do, it would end with, like, a sum-up of him giving a really arbitrary rating to the game. And, like, trying to explain it in one stuttering, drunken paragraph.
And a clear statement that his skills of the game were not on trial.
And the funny thing is, I could never beat any of those games. I don't have the patience to beat any one of those games that he plays through.
Yeah, he kicks it old school, too. Like, he doesn't use any fancy technology. He takes his camera and puts it right up to the TV.
Oh, it's time for my sausage.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the interview with Hemrock. Special thanks to Hemrock for coming on the show. And we will be right back with the Failbag. We'll be right back. This is Critical Failure for Tiger Claw TV. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the fail bag.
It's time for the fail bag.
Woo! Yay, it's the fail bag. Okay, so we're going to do actual letters this time again, because we're trying to keep things as short as possible. And we got two. We got an audio comment from Jerry Terrifying. We got a letter from Scott from Classic Leet. So let's go ahead and read that email first. Hey, CF, really enjoying the interview with Hemrock. I like seeing guys from the Retro League show up elsewhere on the internet. Anyways, have you actually ever played a Wonderswan? I'm kidding. My real questions are, what is the favorite video game song you've ever covered and why? And for your next Greenleaf album, what is a video game song you'd like to cover? Keep it up. I'm looking forward to part two with Hemlock. Let's see. No, I've never played a Wonderswan, which is one of the reasons why I wrote into your show asking about that. Because every time I bring up the Wonderswan, everybody else has a completely different piece on that system and what they think about it and so on and so forth. So that's the only reason why I brought it up. Favorite video game song that I've ever covered? Well, I've only actually ever covered one, I believe. Well, two. The first album that I put out of chiptunes had the Mario Land song on it, and that was one. And ages ago, I used to play a song on my guitar from, I think it's called Rescue the Embassy Mission for the NES. Those are the only two I've ever done. Now, I'm working on another album right now. I don't imagine it's too far away. Month, maybe two, tops. I have been asked on the Retro League forums to cover a Zelda song acoustically. I don't know if that's going to happen. Try and make it happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Covering songs is really hard for me. If you know a lot about music theory, then it's easy. But I don't, so it's very difficult for me. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think that was it. Yeah, looking forward to part two. Well, part two is on this episode, so I hope you enjoyed it. Coming up next, our next one is from Jerry Terrifying, and he sends in an audio comment. And here we go. This is Jerry Terrifying.
Yo, just wanted to respond to a few things from your last podcast. You say you're having trouble with the C button on your Sega Genesis controller. What you're going to want to do is take a Phillips head screwdriver, open it up, take out the buttons, and under the buttons there's going to be little rubber pads, and then on the bottoms of those rubber pads there's going to be a little black thing that completes the circuit when you press the button down. Take a Q-tip and some Goo Gone, wet the Q-tip with it, wipe off the contacts, and you should never have a problem with that controller again. What's happening is Sega Genesis controllers are primarily used by placing them in human hands, or as I like to call it, the filthiest fucking things on the planet, because they touch genitals, Cheetos, and a whole myriad of other horrible things that leave disgusting filth on your greasy mitts. Also, you said something about the original Xbox controller, that it was huge, but it didn't have VMUs like the Dreamcast controller to justify the hugeness. Wrong. Both the original Xbox controller and the Xbox controller S both took memory cards. They both had two memory card slots, very similar to the Dreamcast controller. They just didn't have the LCD screen. And one last thing, the Xbox game cases that are missing the pieces of plastic right under where the disc goes, that is the worst fucking place to have missing plastic. If they took out the corners to cut costs, that'd be fine, or if they took out the chunks of plastic on the opposite side of the case, but having missing plastic from the side where the actual game is supposed to be protected is pretty piss poor design, and I think it's a thing to do in the first place. I've bought a few DVDs that have that, and they were all cheap DVDs, but yeah, whatever. So that's all I wanted to comment on. I hope you get that Genesis controller going.
Thanks for writing in, Jared. It's always awesome to hear from you and dropping some technical knowledge on us. First, let's start with the Genesis controller. I did actually get that opened up, and I got it all cleaned out. It was exactly what you said it was. It wasn't exactly the pads, though. What it was that there was a gritty buildup around the plastic button itself, the upper part that actually makes contact with your thumb.
And I don't understand why that would stop it from actually making contact half the time, but that was doing it. I opened it up, cleaned it out just like you said, took out all the pads just for good measure, got it all good to go. You once told me anything you need to know in terms of modding and that kind of stuff, YouTube's the place to go. I did just that. Got it all fixed. So now let's talk about this controller thing. Yeah, you're right. I did... You all right over there? It's my son just letting us know he's almost ready for a nap. I did actually forget about the memory cards. You're right about that. So maybe it did justify the size. But, one, I don't really know that much about Xbox controllers. The one I have for my old original Xbox is a third-party brand controller, so, you know, whatever. I just remember feeling that the controller, when I was using it, I remember having the feeling that it was way bigger and more awkward than it needed to be. Technically speaking, you know, maybe they made use of the space and did whatever. I just remember feeling like I was pushing buttons on a bicycle helmet rather than a controller. That's just how I felt. And I think, actually, they did end up... Maybe you know a little bit more about this than I do, but I think they actually did end up reducing the size one way or another. But that's neither here nor there. I don't even really play Xbox all that much. So for me to make comments on Xbox is kind of like... There's no validity in it, you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to kind of stray from the Xbox technical hardware discussions. It was an awesome system. Some of the games on it were awesome, particularly... DOA Beach Volleyball, tee-hee, chuckle-chuckle. So thanks again for writing in. It's always great to hear from you. And while this episode was in the editing stages, I actually got one more audio comment from none other than Retro Kaiser, a very old friend of the show. So I'm going to go ahead and roll that now. Here's Retro Kaiser.
Hey, Tiger Claw TV. I just got some quick questions for you. As I've got some very horny Daleks after me. So, first question. Are there any games that you don't like that sell for a ton of money? And also, if you could make a one alcohol drink after your favorite video game, what would it be and how would you make it? And congratulations, you are a victim of Retro Kaiser's Podcast Appreciation 2010. Please expect a surprise package up by the end of the year. Anyway... I gotta go. These Daleks are after me. Oh crap, they're here now.
Inseminate, deploy. Coming.
Splat!
Very nice. That is the Retro Kaiser. For those of you who don't know, Retro Kaiser was writing into Tiger Claw Radio back when the show consisted of MP3s being uploaded to Mega Upload. So it was basically just me, my old co-host. Yeah, I know. Me, my old co-host, and Retro Man on the other end listening. So he goes. It doesn't go back much further than that in terms of the show. So thanks for writing in, dude. I appreciate that. So let's break it down. The big question was very expensive games that I can't stand. Now, I would probably have to say the answer is in the grails of the early systems. Air Raid is a perfect example. It doesn't get much more expensive than that, and that game was lame. I mean, obviously, the reason it's expensive has nothing to do with the game itself. It's just that there's only a few of them out there. But... we're actually talking about game programs, the content of the game themselves. So that's one. Another one I don't care much for, and I think this is a fairly unpopular opinion, Panic Restaurant for the NES. I haven't played it, but I've seen a lot of footage of it. It looks really lame, and that's a pretty expensive game. It's a pretty difficult question to ask, because the games that you don't like, people don't tend to spend a lot of thought on. But I know if I had a couple of my pals here, they could call me on it and be like, dude, this game, I spent a ton of money on it, and you can't stand it. So there's that. I'd love to comment on this after giving it some more thought, but for now we're going to stick with Air Raid and Panic Restaurant. Alcohol and video games. Now, this might come as a shocker, but I am absolutely dry. I don't drink at all, not even a little bit. But I have drank before, so I can answer the question like this. The perfect combination
of alcohol matched to a video game would have to be a Nintendo 64 four-player party type game. Your Golden Eyes, your I played a lot of Quake 2 because we didn't have Golden Eye. There was a game called Jet Force Gemini, which was actually a third-person chase game, shooter game, kind of like that, which I loved. Those games specifically, like Quake 2 and Jet Force Gemini, those, some sort of cheap beer that can be bought in large quantities, and some sort of snack which will eventually ruin the controllers, like Doritos or something like that. That's a party. That's the kind of party you put forth the money to buy expendable controllers just for that night. And I would love to do something like that again. Played a lot of Quake 2 and a lot of Jet Force Gemini back in the day. I also played a lot of Quake 1, but one thing I didn't like about Quake 1 was that it only had two players on the Nintendo 64, which I didn't really get. Because it was an awesome port. The graphically and stuff, the game was great. It had all the levels, all the deathmatch levels from the PC version, I believe, but you couldn't have... by the way, Quake 1 is one of my all-time favorite FPSs. All-time favorites. Love that game. I've been rocking those same deathmatch maps since 1996 when it came out. And that was kind of disappointing. But I'm straying from the topic here. So let's move to this podcast appreciation thing. Dude... I've heard a little bit of Underground talking about this behind the scenes. This thing you're doing is it's awesome, and I can't wait for whatever you're making happen to happen. I'm going to make a video of it. It's going to be a huge event. Retro Kaiser, you're an awesome dude. You mentioned something about year-end awards. I caught you on GexUp's E3 award show, and that was easily your best broadcasting yet. So if it's going to be anything like that, I'm definitely going to be in. I'm going to make an article about it. Everybody's going to be listening. It's going to be an awesome podcast event. Okay, for all of you out there listening, if you want to write into the show, cf@tigerclawtv. I love your letters. I love your audio comments. You can pretty much do anything you want. You got something to say, say it. You are allowed to curse, but I will bleep you, just a heads up. Because I like to carry that clean tag. I think more things happen for... Yeah, I know. As you can hear, I got my little boy's here, so I try and keep it as clean as possible, which isn't always possible. But anyway, before I start rambling too much, we're going to call that it, I guess. Oh, one more thing. I want to talk about Doom Knight. Doom Knight 5 coming up. It's on the 27th. Skull Tag has updated. There's a new version of Skull Tag out. Whenever this happens, one of two things are... there's two things that are going on. Number one... All the servers don't work with the old version of Skull Tag. So if you don't update, you can't play. But updating is easy. Just go to skulltag.net, get the new version, download it, install it, set your directory paths, you're good to go. But this is important because people cheat in Skull Tag. When we play, everybody who's played a Doom Knight is familiar with this. Somebody who's not with the group just wanders into the server, cleans everybody up, no sweat. This has got to be cheating. It's got to be, because it always happens. So with the new version, we can always hope that they've made it more difficult for those people to do that sort of thing. And then if somebody comes in and just cleans us up, maybe then we can just say, okay, maybe he's really good at the game. And that's okay. So get the new version of Skull Tag. Another thing about Skull Tag, Mega Man. Okay, there's a Mega Man modification. Retro Kaiser made us all aware of this quite a while ago when it was in its development stages. Well, they released a demo of it, which is just a WAD file that you download and you put it in your Skull Tag directory. But the new version of Skull Tag has a few servers that use this. So get it, put it in your Skull Tag directory, and you can play this Mega Man modification. It's amazing. It is absolutely breathtaking. I can't stress this enough. You got to experience this. Now, one thing that's special about it is this isn't an add-on WAD. It is a standalone WAD file, which means in this particular instance, you don't have to have Doom2.wad to play. If that's the only thing that's been keeping you from joining us, that you don't have Doom 2, get this, because we will play it, and you can join us. I want to call that it. Editing this episode has just been a nightmare. So I apologize. I wanted this second part to come out like a couple days after the first part, and it just hasn't happened that way. Tons of stuff is going on, so I've been really busy. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I'm having more fun doing the podcast than probably anything else right now. Yeah, I know. So I will see you guys in the next episode. This is Critical Failure for Tiger Claw Radio, signing off.
This ain't your home, your home. This ain't your home, your home. By this time tomorrow, you'll be on